Hugh's done such a great job, and we want him to give us a report about it tonight, and I think maybe you got a picture or two to show us. You just come on and take over, okay?
Thank you, preacher. That was over 20 years ago. I met with the preacher, and I had some struggles with my heart, and he said, just take the one orphanage that we started, and go easy with it, and just work with that one orphanage over in Burma. And one orphanage turned into two, and then three, and then four, and then churches, and then schools, and the heart got bigger, stronger, and God just blessed. He totally blessed the ministry from that one meeting where we said, well, we just got it started. We didn't know what to do, and I went off to Asia. You can put that thing down, brother. What I'm going to do is... I just want to share a little bit about the trip over there. It was exciting, but I think the video or the pictures will explain a lot more than I could. So we'll get started with that. You can go, let it rip, brother. Don't rip it. This is, we're giving out some gifts to the children at one of the orphanages here, and they appreciate it. Give them 1,000 chets, it's about 80 cents. This is in China. The children were playing in a big play area in China, which China is kind of scary to talk about right now, but this was inside the beautiful place, inside the airport. It's just amazing what they do over there. Happy New Year. This lady got saved on the plane flying from China into Thailand. There's a closer picture of her. Her boyfriend there did not get saved, but she did. Thank you. Isn't that amazing when you can win people the Lord 39,000 feet in the air? This is in restaurants in Cambodia. We just have to, we had to be protected. Everywhere you went, they were watching for the virus. There's a car, they pick you up at the airport riding this thing, preacher. This was exciting. They had to crank it to get it started, and then it just chugged along all the way from the airport. The three girls on the back are girls from our orphanage that are in nursing school. They're in the second and third year of the nursing school. This is one of the orphanages. Their pastor was here with us about a year ago. Beautiful children, beautiful place. This is the pastor and his wife and children. I had stopped in there this one day just to check on the buildings. We were doing some work on the buildings. This is the young lady that just graduated from nursing school, one of the first children to come to our orphanage. And this is preaching in one of the orphanages. These things go for a long time, seems like. Over again. This young man wants to come to the U.S. to school. I think he's a friend of one of the guys from in the college. It's just amazing what you teach and you preach, and then after the class is over, the students sit for 2 hours longer asking questions and wanting to know more about the Word of God. the bell rings in our place and everybody runs. But this is the graduation, where we had the graduation service on in January, the day before your anniversary here. These are the Bible school students in Cambodia. We had spent about 16 hours of classes. This is one of the pastors. Just people hungry for the word of God, just excited about serving God. This is the building I stayed in, where that crossover is. I was two floors above that, 35th floor. Me and 70 million Chinese people, I think it was. This is a break at our pastors' meeting. They said they weren't going to have food, but they said we can't do anything without food. And this is preaching in the Lighthouse Baptist Church. We had the dedication service. And that metal box there in front, that's mission money. These are all the pastors in Cambodia that we work with, pastoring churches that are missions of this church. And these are the other folks, the pastors that we don't all support all of them, but we work with them in teaching and training. And there they are eating. This lady right in the middle here came out of our HIV center. She married a man, and she's starting a whole new life for herself. There's one picture I want to show you. We go 9 hours a day teaching, and then they're starting to fall asleep, so we sing a couple of songs where they can jump around. And then they massage each other. That's how they wake up. And then they turn around and massage the other group. It's hysterical. This was everywhere you went. Watch out for coughing, sneezing, breathing difficulties. If you've been in China the last 14 days is what they're saying. Everywhere you went, they were trying to tell the people to be careful. I don't know how much more there is here. This is Yanut's father. I wanted to get a picture of him. He was with us at church. He got saved recently at one of the services, and Kim's father. And anyway, he got saved at the services here. Amen. And there's my bride. Amen. Okay, thank you, sir. You can cut it off. It's something. Okay, we had a situation in our anniversary is the same day as the anniversary year, and I thought it was a good thing to do, until I realized I had to be gone for the anniversaries here. But we had 18 of our mission churches with the same anniversary, and we had 1,434 in attendance at our churches. 1,434. We had 105 salvations that day. 105 people going to heaven. And then we had 63 baptisms. I tell you, my arms were tired. But I did about 30 of them, and that was enough for me. You know, I can use my age and go, oh man, and then they'll jump in and do it, you know, so I don't have to continue. But I was tired. But after the anniversary Sunday, I had 3 weeks of services in different places. We had an additional 154 saved. We organized two more churches, so I had prayed that God would give us 20 churches in 20 years. And God has been so good. He has given us things. Sometimes we don't even pray for it, and He gives it to us. But the fact is that I prayed for 20 churches in 20 years, and this is our 20th year, and we organized the last two churches from 18 to 20. These churches have orphanages. They have they're starting schools. We have another Bible school that started. It's starting the 1st of April. They're going to start having classes. God has miraculously blessed, and Brother Parson has allowed us to be able to work with the college here to expand to the college over in Asia. And what a blessing. So far, we have people that are overseeing all of the colleges that graduated with their masters from here. One doctorate, one master. And, you know, so it's not just, we're not just doing something, we're doing it the right way. We're doing it according to the way it should be, and we want to be a blessing. I'll tell you a little story. I heard a flight attendant saying they had a very rough landing. I mean, the plane slammed down on the ground. Happened to us over in Nicaragua the same way. But anyway, the flight attendant came on the microphone. And she said, "I ask that you please remain seated as Captain Kangaroo bounces us to the terminal." And that's how bad it was, you know, when the plane starts bouncing down. But it's funny. I want to talk to you about the kids there. These children are so excited about what God is doing in their life. They're graduating from college. They're graduating from the Bible school. They're graduating from engineering school. They're graduating from the medical nursing schools. And all because of your faithfulness. All because you were willing to help us with a bike-a-thon, or you were willing to help us with helping us to support the orphanages. And it's God doing it all. You know, all I do is get it together, and God works it all out for the people there, for the children there. Now, we've seen one miracle after another. While I was there, we had to wear masks. It was pretty bad. I had my temperature taken more in a month than I ever had in my entire life. Every time I walked into my hotel room, they put that thing up to your forehead. I said, "Don't touch me." You know, who knows who was there last? I keep it a distance away. "Oh, yes, okay, you know." And then they touch you anyway, you know. But and then I'd go over to the hand sanitizer and I'd sanitize my head, you know. But they wouldn't let you in the building if you didn't get your temperature taken. When you walked out, you had to have your temperature taken. I guess we were protecting the street, I don't know. But anyway, we had to do this. Then I found a way that I could get in the building without going past the man with the thermometer. If I went down, there was a Starbucks that was tied into the hotel, and if I went through Starbucks, and then I don't like Starbucks because they're anti-American. Anyway, I went through Starbucks and went up into the hotel and took the elevator up, and I bypassed it, and I thought to myself, "Why'd you do this?" And I thought, well, I just want to see if I could do it, you know? And so I did it, but the problem was that if I could do it, somebody with the disease could have done it, you know? So I decided I'd just keep on going with the get my temperature taken. You walk into a restaurant, you saw a picture of us, they were kind of distorted the way it was so big, but in a restaurant, we're all sitting there at the table with the mask on. You don't go in a restaurant unless you have the mask. And then when you eat, you can take it off. They let you do that, you know. But I was in Dubai, and the people in Dubai, all you see is their eyes, and they have the black mask. And I watched them eat. They lean it up a little bit, and they eat underneath that mask. So I thought, well, that'd be a way I could do the same thing, but it didn't work well. But we it was a danger. I left China, and they never told us that there was a problem. They never said there's a virus. You could pick up a little bits and pieces on the news. There was no CNN, no Fox News, no American stations, all in Chinese. And I had no idea what they were talking about. And when on the bottom where the banner goes across, it was all in Chinese too. So I had no idea what they were saying. But they never told us that there was a problem. They were trying to get me to go into the country to see the Great Wall. We got a greater wall in Texas. We don't need that one, you know. But I said, no, I'm not going. I'm sure not going to go out into China. I had a 12-hour layover, but I didn't want to see it. They said, you can go to the Forbidden City. I said, if it's forbidden, I don't want to go there. So, but, you know, they didn't tell me that there was a virus going around. And so when I went to get on the plane, they have these big machines that you walk through and it's taking your temperature. You don't even realize it. You get on the plane, and I'm sitting in the plane, and this lady was sitting next to me, and she's the lady that got saved. We had 9 hours to talk about the Lord. And it started out, she said, are you concerned about the virus? Because the people were talking, and that's how I found out about it. And I said, no. I said, I just trust God. And she says, well, I trust God too. I said, well, how do you trust him? She says, I just believe. I said, what do you believe in? And she said, I believe in the good and the bad and, you know, the confused way of believing that there's good in the world and there's bad in the world and you're either one or the other. I said, well, which one are you? And she says, well, I hope I'm a good one. I said, no, you're a sinner. You're lost. And you're the bad. And she says, oh, she looked at me. She says, why do you say that? You know, and anyway, I went through this. I said, can I show you what I believe? And she says, sure. And I opened up my Bible, Book of Romans, and I went through the scriptures with her. Slowly, she spoke very good English. And I asked her, would you want to pray and ask the Lord to save you right now? She said, I would be foolish not to. Woo, I said, yes. And she prayed. And her boyfriend was sitting in the row in front of us. And she said, he has to know this. And she brought him back. And he's sort of sitting on her armrest, on her chair. And she said, tell him what you told me. And I went through the whole plan of salvation with him. And he was deep into Confucius teaching. And he says, I'm not ready. I don't think so. And I said, your girlfriend's going to go to heaven. And you're going to go to hell. He said, only if I believe it. I said, oh, my goodness, you know. But he just would not accept the Lord, just wouldn't do it. But, you know, who knows? She was going to celebrate the Chinese New Year in Thailand. And they were all set for an exciting time visiting Thailand. And I'm praying that she was able to lead him to the Lord. I gave her tracts and everything I had. Unfortunately, it was in another language, but she would be able to translate because she did that kind of stuff. So you know, even flying, I complain about 25, 30 hours flights, and you wonder, how am I going to make this? And you go little at a time, and God always sends me somebody that I can share with, somebody I can talk with, somebody. I had a Muslim man sitting in one of the lounges waiting to get on the plane, and he said to me, you're an American, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, what do you think of Trump? And I said, I think he's a great man. I said, he's trying to save the babies from abortion. And he says, is that all you care about? I said, that's an important thing. I said, you know, this is now we knew about the virus now. And I said, do you realize that the person who might have had the cure for this virus might have been aborted 20 years ago? I said, so, you know, we're trying to resolve things and we're killing people. And I said, that's why I support Mr. Trump. Besides, he's a Christian. He said, well, I'm a Muslim. I said, well, that's okay. You can be a Muslim, but you could be a saved Muslim. And he says, well, how would I do that? He says, you know, my wife is a Christian. I said, has she ever told you how to become a Christian? She's a Catholic. I said, well, you know, she's not evangelistic. And but anyway, he let me give him the plan of salvation there in that lounge. And there was an actor that came, that was crowded, and he says, can I sit here? I said, sure. I said, you're going to have to listen in what I'm saying, though. And he sat down, and he started jumping into the conversation. I went, hold it a minute. Let me finish. And he went, he got all upset, you know. And then he said, what I was trying to tell you is that I'm a Christian. I said, well, that's great. I said, if you were to die right now, do you know you'd go to heaven? And he says, well, I hope so. I said, then you're not a Christian. And I was able to go through it with him. He didn't get saved, but folks, they're out there. They're all over looking to get saved, people looking to be saved. And it's a blessing. I'd like to share with you a verse of scripture that God laid on my heart in the book of John chapter 14, verse 15. John 14, 15. The Bible says, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And if you jump down into verse 21, you'll see where Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is he that loveth me. So Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then further on, he says, if you keep my commandments, you love me. Commandments, what are they? Not just the Ten Commandments, but the commandments of God. You know, I look at this part of Scripture like a sandwich. You know, in China and Asia, everything is rice, 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 rice. Right? They love their rice. And they're particular about the rice that they eat. And they like rice. But in America, we like sandwiches. You know, the kids go to school and they get peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We have hoagies. It depends on what part of the country you come from. We have subs. We have the heroes up in New York. They call them heroes. We have grinders, and they're all the same thing. And you can get the poor boy, the po' boys, is the P.O. boys, and blimpies. These are all the same Subway sandwiches. So you have, this scripture reminds me of a Subway sandwich. You got bread on one side, and you got bread on the other, and all of the meat in between. Now the meat, the Bible tells us, is the Holy Spirit. So with the top piece of bread is love. If you love me, keep my commandments. The bottom piece of bread is, he says, if you keep my commandments, you love me. So here we have bread, bread, love, love, and the Holy Spirit in between. And you know, the key is that love and obedience go hand in hand. If you love me, keep my commandments. Love comes first. I know independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, hellfire and brimstone preachers don't always get strong on love, but let me tell you something. The love of God is great. And if it wasn't for the love of God, none of us would be here. None of us would have any hope for heaven. So, and I don't want to feel like they have honey dripping from my lips, because it's not that way. But the fact is that obedience is important, but love comes first. You know, when in the 50s, when I was a teenager, it was a song that said, love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. You know, so it's the same. And all of the songs at the time were saying, I love you, I'll marry you. Today, the songs say, let's live together. It's not the same. Marriage is not important because people, the world is telling us marriage is not important. I'm married 57 years and I would do it again. And I've been blessed. And, you know, love only gets stronger the older you get. If you realize the mate that you have and the person that's standing there with you. But anyway, obedience is important, but love comes first. If we describe obedience, it would be works. You say, uh-oh, preacher, you're not going to talk about works now, are you? Well, we should be doing works. You know, when the church needs to be clean, that's works. When the toilet paper needs to be put in the restrooms, that's works. when the floors need to be swept, that's works. And right on down the line, every single thing that we do, it's works. And we ought to be willing to do these things. We ought to be willing to have a part in the life of this church. And it's an honor. I remember when I first got saved, my brother was a Catholic priest, and he said, "You going to church in the middle of the day on a Saturday?" I said, "Yeah, we're building a building." He says, "Hire a contractor." I said, "Well, that's the way you guys do it, but we don't do it that way, you know. We do it ourselves." And he couldn't understand that we would be giving up our time just to serve God and work at the church. He couldn't figure it out. He thought it was ridiculous. He said, "I'd rather pay somebody to do it." I said, "Well, that's the way your church does it. You got a lot of money in the coffers. We don't. We give all our money to buses and all the other things that we do." And he couldn't understand it. I got saved, and the preacher heard that I had a class 2 license. He was jumping for joy. And I said, "Why?" And he says, "Because we just bought a new bus." And a new bus was 15, 18 years old, but it was a new bus to us. Yeah. It was a retired Army Air Force bus. It had the emergency door on the side. It was that old, where they come out the side. And it looked like a bomb. It was kind of round looking. And I chugged along in that thing for the longest time, bringing boys and girls in. It was a 32-passenger bus, and we had over 100 on it. And it was exciting. And we changed the whole church changed overnight. I went off and found out how to do promotions. And we found out if we just give the kids ice cream, they'll come to church. And we had never done that before. So sure enough, I went out and bought a bunch of ice cream, and a guy that was working with me, we bought this ice cream, and we told the kids on Saturday, "We're going to have an ice cream party." Man, we came in, and the preacher only had one place. We didn't even have the Sunday school built yet. And we marched in with over 100 kids. You know that service changed. And he got excited. He started telling stories to the kids and preaching, and a bunch of the kids got saved. And wouldn't you know it, adults also got saved. You know, there's obedience is something that we should be doing. We ought to be challenged to do all we possibly can. I had a bus route in Louisville, Kentucky, and we had a contest, preacher. We had the girls had to catch a chicken. The girls caught the chicken just like that. The boys had to catch a pig, a little baby pig. And the little baby pig saw about 70, 90, maybe 300 kids running towards it. And little, you know, pigs can't turn their head around and look, you know. They got to go like this. And that little pig made his circle and went, took off down Johnsontown Road. And all those kids took off down Johnsontown Road. There was a sea of humanity. That at this point, the other ones heard about the pig going, and they were all running down Johnsontown Road, heading towards Dixie Highway in Louisville, Kentucky. And sure enough, when they got up to the corner, there was always a trooper there, and he would stop traffic so that the buses could get out. And as he looked and he saw this sea of humanity coming with the little pig in front running as fast as he could, and he went up and he stopped traffic on Dixie Highway, and the pig ran across the road. And then the kids ran across the road. And the kids kept on running across the road. And kept on running across. The pig finally stopped dead. I think he died. And the kids pounced on the pig, and they committed hogicide. But you know, we had all to do. We had the Jefferson County police on us. We had everybody in town complaining about the sea of humanity of kids coming. And to get them back down Johnsontown Road was a job in itself. But the fact is, we changed that community just by having a bus route. And, you know, we had a lot of fun doing it. And I could tell you story after story of the blessings of how God worked in our lives and how we saw souls saved. But obedience is work. It was work to go to Fort Knox every Saturday morning and knock on doors. It was work to have people turn around and complain and holler at us and say, "No, I don't want to come to church." It took work to go up and down those stairs in those military housing. And I'll just tell you one quick story, then I'm going to stop talking about this anyway. I went up to, I met a little black boy in the street, and I said, son, you want to ride my bus? And he said, yes, sir, I do. And his friends were riding. So I went up the stairs, knocked on the door, and his black fang was there. I hear this dog barking and howling. I said, oh, my goodness. And this guy comes to the door, and he's holding back this big German shepherd. And he said, I'm Terry Dunning from Beth Haven Baptist Church. I run a school bus, right, the church bus right down the street here, and we'd like to bring your son to school with us, to Sunday school with us. Do you think it'd be okay? And he says, I'll give you the count to three to get out of my house. I'm letting my dog loose. And he did. He said, one, and I took off down the stairs. Two, and three, and I could feel the dog's breath on my neck, and I got out the door and thing, and I closed it, and that dog, wham, hit the door. I said, oh, my goodness, that was close. This is serving God, you know. So sure enough, all of the places there looked the same. They all looked the same. And sure enough, I met a little girl on the street, a little black girl. They said, honey, would you like to ride our church bus? I would. So I said, let's go talk to your parents. And I go up the stairs. They all look the same. And all of a sudden, I hear the dog, and I went, oh, no. And the man opened up the door, and he held the dog by the collar, and he laughed. I said, what's so funny? And he said, you're the fastest white man I've ever seen. And he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let the kids ride the bus. I was taking six steps at a time going down the steps. And my wife was at the bottom of the steps outside. Fortunately, she didn't even realize what was going on until it happened. But the little boy and the little girl came to church, and you know, the dad was shipping out to Vietnam. He came to church and got saved. So he was upset about him shipping out, and these are problems that come up. But you know, we should love God more than anything else in the world. We ought to love God, and we ought to be committed to the people around us. We ought to have a desire to want to be a blessing to people. Obedience comes second. First love, and then second. The girls used to do jump rope. They say, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes Susie in a baby with a baby carriage. And they used to do it as they jump rope in the streets, you know. But this is what it's all about, folks. Love comes first, and then obedience comes. And how we deal with it would be the right way. But Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The first four commandments relate man to God. The next six relate man to man. First tells us how to love. The second six tell us how to live, how we can live with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we ought to have a burden, and we ought to have a desire to serve God. You know, it was 75 years ago, the New Year's Day, 1929, when unbeaten Georgia Tech faced the one-time beaten University of California. They were playing in the Rose Bowl game. It was about 80 degrees that afternoon. About 70,000 people were there, and one of the players' name was Roy Riggles. Roy Riggles was, he played football for the university in 1929, and he picked up a fumble and was spun around, and he ran towards the goal line. And he ran, and he ran, and the fans were cheering and cheering. And one of his players tackled him at the one-yard line. He was going the wrong way. He was devastated. Right at halftime, he was broken over this. He went and he sat in a corner, had a blanket wrapped around him. He was sobbing and crying. He was embarrassed, and the coach said, all right, guys, we're going back out. The same team is playing the second half. And Roy Riggles just sat there sobbing away. Coach waited a minute or two, and he said to him, son, did you hear what I said? The same team is going back out. He said, sir, I've shamed you. I've shamed the university. I've shamed everybody. I can't face those people. He said, son, the team is waiting for you. He got up and wiped his face, tears. And the coach looked at him and said softly, Roy, did you hear me? He said, yes, sir. And he turned around and stood up, and he went back out. The opposing team, the players on the opposing team said they had never seen a player play as hard as he did that day. And the fact is that sometimes we get off in the wrong direction. Sometimes we think, boy, we got it made. We're going to keep going and going and going, and we're going in the wrong direction. And one of our players have to tackle us and stop us. That's the preacher. He stops us from going and making a big mistake of our life. And the fact is, I believe the preacher is just like the coach, and he goes up, put his hands on his shoulder and say, son, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I think God looks down from heaven and sees the mistakes that we make, and he looks at us and says, it'll be all right. Just trust me. Trust me. I'll get you through this thing. And sometimes we think there's no hope for us whatsoever, but God gets us through it because of faith, because of commitment. And folks, if we have the faith to believe, if we have the love to trust God, we can be obedient and we can run buses. We can have teach Sunday school classes. We can work in any facet of this ministry if we have the love from God. Now, it takes love. There is no big shots in the church. There's one big shot, and that's the Lord Jesus. And we have an under shepherd. And Brother Carter is our shepherd. You know what the shepherd does? The shepherd watches out for the flock. The shepherd gets his big old cane thing, whatever they call it, out, and he'll lop you over the head with it to protect his sheep. And this is what a shepherd is supposed to do. This is what a pastor is supposed to do. The pastors aren't looking for glory. They're not looking for praise. They're looking out for your souls, our souls. And he does this because he loves God. And God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then says, because you've kept my commandments, you love me. I will tell my Father that you love me. Hey, folks, this is just a simple love and obedience. The two go hand in hand. And it's not like the love and marriage goes together like a horse and carriage, but love and obedience go together. And if we love God, we will be obedient. What he tells you to do, do it with all your might. Do it with all your power. Do it with all your trust. Believe him. When God told me to go to Burma, I had no idea where Burma was. I didn't know. All I knew was a song Frank Sinatra sang about the road going up to Mandalay. And I found out it was a river, and it wasn't even a road. But I didn't know anything about it. And I didn't know the people there. But when I got there and I found the people, and I realized how much they loved God and how much they wanted to, they were hungry for the Word of God. And I'm working with the Chin people, and the Chin people are the people that are the Christians in the country. They still need to get saved, though. They're Christian in name. But one Christian man said to me, I was born a Christian. I said, really? You were born again? He says, no, I was born. My father's a Christian. I'm a Christian. That's not the way it works. You know, I use that expression where if I was born in a garage, it doesn't make me a car, you know? But the truth is that we were able to help them. But they're grounded. They have the foundation for Christianity. So you don't have to deal with the Buddhist situation. You can just work with them. They're hungry for the Word of God. Folks, I've been blessed. I don't know when God's gonna take me to heaven, but when I get to heaven, I got a lot of people there waiting that we've worked with through the years. And you know, I can't believe that it's another few months and I'll be going back again. It's really like I just got here. But you know what? Linda and I have such a desire to reach these people, and we're honored that you allow us to go, that you send us, help us and pray for us, and we could never do it without. I could never have gotten through this virus without your prayers, and I know you folks are praying. Preacher, you come.